Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabha Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 6th chapter, verse 6th onwards. Hare Krishna Radhika Vallabha Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all wishes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Before I hand our call to you, I would like to hand our call to you, Praveen Govind Prabhuji, for brief introduction of Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Praveen Govind Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all wishes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Please accept my call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, my Dhanvat Pranams to all the devotees on the call. His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He completed his B.Tech and M.Tech from IIT Mumbai in 2001, and then he worked in IT industry for 2 years. However, his heart got attracted to Krishna consciousness. So since 2003, he has been serving as a brahmachari in the Radha Gopinath Temple, Mumbai. He has served the Sikh Devotees Care and DT department. He has served in the Education Department since 2013 and does youth preaching and congregation preaching as well. Prabhuji is a teacher of Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav, and he has been teaching in Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapeeth, GEP, Wada, Mumbai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Praveen Mohan Prabhuji, for reading introduction. Hare Krishna Radhika Vallabha Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all wishes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji, we are able to hear.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet. Nashtaprayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛా కల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. ఐ హోప్ యు ఆర్ ఏబుల్ టు హియర్ క్లియర్లీ. ఇన్ కేస్ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఇస్ ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ అనేబుల్ టు హియర్ క్లియర్లీ దెన్ యు మే లెట్ మీ నో. ఐ విల్ యాక్చువల్లీ స్విచ్ ఆఫ్ ద వీడియో. సో టుడే వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 5th కాంటు చాప్టర్ 6 వర్స్ నంబర్ 6. ఐల్ రీడ్ ద వర్స్. అతైవం అఖిల లోక పాల లలామోపి విలక్షణైర్ జడవత్ అవధూత వేష భాష చరితైర్ అవిలక్షిత భగవత్ ప్రభావో యోగినాం సాంపరాయ విధిం అనుశిక్షయన్ స్వకలేవరం జిహాసుర్ ఆత్మన్ ఆత్మానం అసంవ్యవహితం అనర్థాంతర భావేన అన్వీక్షమాణ ఉపరత అనువృత్తిర్ ఉపరరామ. I'll read the translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This verse is the form of a prose. Lord Rishabhadev was the head of all kings and emperors within the universe. But assuming the dress and the language of an avadhuta, he acted as if dull and materially bound. Consequently, no one could observe his divine opulence. He adopted this behavior just to teach yogis how to give up the body. Nonetheless, he maintained his original position as a plenary expansion of Lord Vasudev, Krishna. Remaining always in that state, he gave up his pastimes as Lord Rishabhadev within the material world. If following in the footsteps of Lord Rishabhadev, one can give up this subtle body, there is no chance that one will accept a material body again. Purport. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma Karma Chame Divyam ఏవం యో వేత్తి తత్వతః త్యక్త్వా దేహం పునర్జన్మ నైతి మామ్యేతి సోర్జున. వన్ హూ నోస్ ద ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నేచర్ ఆఫ్ మై అపీరెన్స్ అండ్ యాక్టివిటీస్ డస్ నాట్ అపాన్ లీవింగ్ ద బాడీ టేక్ హిస్ బర్త్ అగైన్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ బట్ అటైన్స్ మై ఎటర్నల్ అబోడ్ ఓ అర్జున్. దిస్ ఇస్ పాసిబుల్ సింప్లీ బై కీపింగ్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. One must understand his constitutional position and the constitutional position of the Supreme Lord as well. Both have the same spiritual identity. Maintaining oneself as a servant of the Supreme Lord, one should avoid rebirth in this material world. If one keeps himself spiritually fit and thinks of himself as an eternal servant to the Supreme Lord, he will be successful at the time he has to give up the material body. Hare Krishna. So you can just keep only the words in the screen. You can keep the words in the screen. When I explain the words of the verse, it will be helpful to for people to actually focus on the verse and also the meaning. So I'll read the verse again. I'll try to explain the different words. Ata evam. So ata evam. So the word ata in this verse, it is denoting that now there is a change in the topic. The last several verses, especially in the last five verses, Shukadeva Goswami answered a question of Parikshit Maharaj. In the previous chapter, Shukadeva Goswami started describing that how Rishabhadev was, after instructing his sons when he retired, he accepted the Avadhuta Vesha and started behaving like an Avadhuta. He started traveling in the city and different places, and then he started behaving like he accepted the Ajagara Vritti, the how a python lives, just staying at one place, not going here and there to get food. So, and then on the end of the last chapter, Parikshit Maharaj had asked a question that Shukadeva Goswami had mentioned that all the mystic siddhis approached Rishabhadev, but Rishabhadev did not accept those mystic siddhis. That was mentioned by Shukadeva Goswami. And then Parikshit Maharaj asked a question, the beginning of this chapter, for a liberated person like Rishabhadev, there is no harm in accepting the mystic siddhis. Why did Rishabhadev reject the mystic siddhis? Then Shukadeva Goswami gave some profound instructions about how the liberated person does not trust his mind. The more a person climbs on the mountain of purity, the more one will be careful. The more one will be careful to not fall down, to not slip. Because the more a person climbs on the mountain of purity, and when a person falls from the greater height, the impact of that fall will also be greater compared to when a person falls down from a smaller height. So that is why the more a person becomes advanced, the more one is actually cautious of Maya. A person does not trust his mind. So that section was explained by Shukadeva Goswami in the last five verses. And then, so Ata Evam in this verse indicates that now there is a change of topic. After describing the incidental topic of why Rishabhadev did not accept the mystic siddhis, now Shukadeva Goswami is continuing the description of Rishabhadev. Because before this topic of Parikshit Maharaj's question and the answer, Shukadeva Goswami was describing how Rishabhadev was actually behaving like an avadhuta. So Ata Evam, that is what the word Ata Evam signifies. And then next word, Akila Lokapala. Lokapala refers to the different protectors of the planets. So Akila Lokapala Lalamopi. Akila Lokapala Lalamaha Api. Api. That means, although Rishabhadev was the chief of the Lokapalas. Lalamaha means, so Akila Lokapala refers to all the Lokapalas of the universe, all the different, so the kings are in charges of the different planetary systems. Akila Lokapala Lalamaha. Lalamaha means Mandana Bhuta. That is the meaning, Sanskrit meaning given. Mandana Bhuta, that means the chief. Or Lalamaha means Chudamani. although Rishabhadev was the crest jewel of all the Lokapalas, although Rishabhadev was the chief among all the Lokapalas, but Rishabhadev vilakshanair jadavat avaduta besha basha charitair. Vilakshanai, that means Rishabhadev exhibited the various symptoms of an avaduta. Vilakshanair jadavat avaduta, although Rishabhadev was the chief of all the Lokapalas, Rishabhadev exhibited the various symptoms, the dress of an avaduta, vesha, not only the dress of an avaduta, Rishabhadev also exhibited he also spoke like an avaduta, basha, and charita, he behaved like an avaduta, jadavat, he behaved like an inert person. Jadavat means one who lacks any discrimination. Like last week discussing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that also Rupa Goswami was discussing when he was discussing the Dasya Rasa. Was describing that Dasya Rasa is divided into two categories, Sambrama Preeti Rasa and Gaurava Preeti Rasa, a devotional service in the mood of servitude, in the mood of reverence, and a servitude in a more intimate mood. And then he described Sambrama Preeti Rasa is in two types, yoga and ayoga, servitude in meeting with Krishna and servitude in separation from Krishna. And ayoga, that is servitude in separation from Krishna, that is further divided into two types, utkantitva and viyoga. That is separation from Krishna before meeting Krishna for the first time, and then that is utkantitva. Viyoga means separation from Krishna after meeting Krishna. And of course, I'm just giving, suddenly remembered. And in each of these categories, Rupa Goswami says that there are some special ecstasies which the devotees experience or exhibit in separation from Krishna and meeting with Krishna. So one of the ecstasy described as jadavat. Jadavat means sometimes an ecstasy of separation from Krishna, a person may become inert. One way inert, jadavat means inert, that means without any discrimination. Or he may faint unconscious, he may faint and become unconscious. So Rishabhadev was also behaving like a person without any discrimination. Even there was another character, Jadabharat, also behaved like that. In the Bhagavatam explained. Also in the 11th canto, when Yadu Maharaj met Avadhuta Brahmana, and he saw that this Avadhuta Brahmana also was like an inert person. Vilakshanair Jadavat. Jadavat, he was behaving like an inert person without any discrimination. He would pass stool and remain in the same place. But of course, the fragrance of the stool will go for many miles around. And Avadhuta Vesha Basha Charitair. Avadhuta Vesha Basha Charitair, that means Rishabhadev, he took up the dress of an avaduta, he spoke like an avaduta and behaved like an avaduta. Sometimes when a person is taking up a particular role, suppose he takes up a dress of that role, but if he does not speak according to that role, if he does not behave according to that role, then one can easily actually identify that person. Yeah, one may suppose in the drama practice, before the drama practice, in the normal drama practice, people practice without the dress. And then, okay, one day before or on the day of the drama, they practice with the dress. So one has to, like, sometimes one may, like, one may actually adapt the, one may speak like according to the role, but if he does not dress according to the role, then people will identify, oh, he is not an avadhuta, he is simply acting like that. So the Lord is actually so perfect in his role, whichever role he takes up, he actually so perfectly performs that role. Like when the Lord appears as a human, in the human form, he behaves exactly according to the human role, that even after 5,000 years, people think that Krishna was a human being. They may say, oh, Krishna, oh, he did so much of revolution. Oh, he was a great diplomat. He did this, etc. But he was a great human being. So that is the perfect nature of Krishna's acting. He was so perfect that even after 5,000 years, people consider Krishna as a human being. That's why Krishna says that, avajananti mam mooda manushim tanumashritam param bhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools consider me as a human being. So, jadavat avaduta vesha basha charite. He perfectly, he behaved like an avaduta. Dress, speaking, and also the behavior. And in this way, avilakshita bhagavat prabhava. So, by behaving like an avaduta, Rishabhadev actually concealed his position as a Supreme Lord. Avilakshita means concealing. Bhagavat Prabhava, he concealed his influence of the Supreme Lord. He concealed his influence of the Supreme Lord. So we see especially one of the characteristic of Kali Yuga, the core characteristic of Kali Yuga, we see in the Bhagavatam first canto, when Parikshit Maharaj was going around the kingdom, he saw a person who was dressed like a king, but punishing or torturing a cow and a bull. So Kali Yuga's core characteristic is that one appears to be somebody, see, a king, or one poses oneself to be elevated, but actually performing the activity of somebody degraded. This is what actually we may see in different aspects of life. This is in Kali Yuga. So we find in Kali Yuga people, they pose themselves to be advanced or pose themselves to be of a people of a certain stature, but actually one is not in that position. And Krishna mentioned this point in the 13th chapter. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsak shantirarjavam. Adambitvam, when he talks about the different points of knowledge, adambitva means adambitva means one should be free of dambha. Adambitva, one should be free of dambha. Dambha means posing oneself to be religious for the sake of name and fame. One poses oneself to be religious for the sake of name and fame. And especially we find, this is prominent in Kali Yuga, if we see political, in India, the political leaders before the election, some of them may be atheistic in their heart, but they may pose themselves to be religious before the election. So some leaders may be openly supporting adharma, or religions which are not based on Sanatan Dharma, but during election rally they pose themselves to be actually religious and they pose themselves to be like favoring the Sanatan Dharma. So adambitvam, to be freed from this say damba or hypocrisy or this thing. So but here we see Rishabhade, he is actually a Bhagavan, but he concealed his position as the Bhagavan. Avilakshita Bhagavat Prabhava. This is contrast to what is the situation of Kali Yuga. Avilakshita Bhagavat Prabhava. And there is a verse about Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, he would perform philanthropic activities, or he would take care of the welfare of the people, society. But while taking care of that, he was actually concerned for the welfare of the people. He was not performing simply for the sake of name and fame. He was actually concerned with the concerned with the welfare of the people. But normally among the leaders, when they do some, say, welfare, say COVID welfare or this thing, what they are most concerned is that a photo is actually taken, and then that is actually posted in the, say, Facebook or newspaper, an article comes up in that. Whether that welfare scheme actually reaches the public or not, that is a secondary thing. But the most important thing is that, a photo should be actually put. But Prithu Maharaj, when he was doing welfare, he was not doing just for the sake of name and fame, but he was actually concerned. I say one verse in the Bhagavatam explains that. Like Prithu Maharaj, his fame was such that it had spread to all the planets of the world. It had spread to everywhere in Jambudvipa. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, it is not that Prithu Maharaj started an advertising campaign, something like that. It's not that Prithu Maharaj put some advertising campaign to spread his fame. Rather, Prithu Maharaj, he performed such activities. By the impact of those activities, naturally his fame spread. But actually in Kali Yuga, the contrast in this thing is that people, the leaders, they perform very little welfare, but they spend a lot for advertising campaign. There are companies which manage your social media, your presence, this one. If you pay a certain amount, they will ensure that you get a good popularity in social media. They will ensure that you get a proper image in the social media. Recently, there was an article that when Maharashtra is going through such an intense COVID period, the deputy chief minister spent 6 crore rupees for his social media image. So, people are concerned about actually creating a proper image, although they are not doing actually, their activity may not be like that. So therefore, but here Rishabhade, he concealed his position as a Supreme Lord, Avilakshita Bhagavat Prabhava, but externally behaved like a Vilakshanair. Jadavat Avaduta Vesha Bhasha Charitai. He behaved like an Avaduta. Avaduta means what? Avaduta, one of the definitions given is that Avaduta is a person who is beyond the Varnashram system. Who is beyond the Varnashram system. That is an Avaduta. So Avilakshita Bhagavat Prabhavo. And then why Rishabhade concealed his Bhagavat Prabhava, why he behaved like an Avaduta? So that is the next words. Yoginam Samparaya Vidim Anushikshayan. Samparaya Vidim Anushikshayan. Anushikshayan, he was teaching. What he was teaching? Whom he was teaching? The yogis. You can say for all of us also, the particularly mentioned yogis. Yoginam Anushikshayan. What he was teaching? Samparaya Vidim. Vidhi, we can understand rule. What is Samparaya Vidhi? The Samparaya Vidhi means the method of giving up one's body. The method of giving up one's body. So here we see Yoginam Samparaya Vidhi. So we see previously that in the fourth chapter of the fifth canto, when Shukadeva Goswami was describing about Rishabhadev, he mentioned how Rishabhadev in the fourth chapter, 14th verse, it was explained that although Rishabhadev was a perfect personality, the supreme lord and the controller of all, but he nonetheless acted as if he were an ordinary conditioned soul. Therefore, he strictly followed the principles of Varnashram Dharma and acted accordingly. In due course of time, the principles of Varnashram Dharma had become neglected. Therefore, through his personal characteristics and behavior, he taught the ignorant people how to perform duties within the Varnashram Dharma. In this way, he regulated the general populace in householder life, enabling them to develop religion and economic well-being and to attain reputations sons and daughters, material pleasures, and finally eternal life. By his instructions, he showed how people could remain householders and at the same time become perfect by following the principles of Varnashram Dharma. So here we see Varnashram Dharma is the method of, is the art of living in this world. So Rishabhadev previously, he taught how to live in this world by following Varnashram Dharma. But the same Rishabhadev in this verse, we can see the later part of his life, he behaved like an avadhuta, and avadhuta is somebody who is beyond the Varnashram Dharma. So Rishabhadev is teaching how to transcend Varnashram Dharma. And Rishabhadev is teaching how to leave this body, how to leave this world. So Rishabhadev is a perfect teacher. He taught not only how to live in this world by following Varnashram Dharma, but he also taught how to leave this world by transcending all the designations of Varnashram Dharma. In fact, Rishabhadev was the emperor. He was the king, actually. The world became known as Ajanabha Varsha. It was named after Rishabhadev. Ajanabha, the son of Nabi. As a king, he was glorified, he was getting the respect of the people, he had so much of influence. But when he behaved like an avadhuta, when he was going from one place to another place, then some people were urinating on him, some people were spitting on him, some people were throwing stones at him. Then Rishabhadev, the same people who were previously respecting him as a king, they were insulting him. And these were not some strong, it's a very strong insult actually. Throwing stones at him and spitting on him, urinating on him. But Rishabhadev, he did not at all become unhappy. The same people who glorified, the same people behaved in this way, but Rishabhadev was not disturbed. In fact, yeah, Rishabhadev was completely happy with him. So that shows that how he transcended all the designations, how he did not actually give importance to that, but he focused on the spiritual reality. So that way Rishabhadev, he is teaching actually how to transcend Varnashram, the art of living and also art of leaving this world. There are some spiritualists or some spiritual organizations, they may teach only the art of living in this world. But the art of living, if it is not accompanied with the art of leaving this world, then this teaching is incomplete. This teaching lacks the substance. Because ultimately, this material world is not a place where a person is supposed to live permanently. It is like a toilet where a person finishes his job and comes out. Like you, how much ever you may put perfume in the toilet, it is not going to improve. Especially, of course, when you talk about toilet, maybe the Western countries, they may not, you have to remember sometimes a certain toilets, maybe some big people's house, the toilet may appear like a big 5-star hotel room only, actually. Sometimes different things may be there. But toilet, you can imagine maybe some public toilet in a maybe in an Indian bus stand or something. Because nowadays, everywhere it is improving, but you can imagine like that. So, some people, they may teach only the art of living, but that lacks a substance, because ultimately, one may teach the art of living, but ultimately, one also has to teach the art of leaving this world, because this world is not a place which is to be where we are supposed to live permanently. And there are maybe other spiritualists who may only teach on the art of leaving this world. So the karmis are focused only on how to live in this world comfortably, how to keep on increasing the comforts of this world, how to make it a better, comfortable place. That is the attitude of a karmi. And the jnanis, they are only focused on the art of leaving. They only focus on transcendence. So when you only teach the art of leaving this world, when you only speak about the death all the time, how to leave this world. And then for most people, it may be irrelevant actually, because most of the people, they are so much absorbed in the nitty-gritties of this world. They are so much absorbed in the different immediate problems of their life. And they may be seeking some solution which are related to their different problems, either relationships or some depression or financial problem, etc. And then when we talk about only about transcendence, we only talk about the transcendence, it will be, they may not be able to relate to it. It is something like, say, for example, so I came to my native place, staying here for some time currently because of lockdown. So I observed like every day some people, some two ladies come, two Matajis come to actually sell some flowers. Now there's lockdown going on everywhere. And sometimes they sell flower, small packet flower, 20 rupees. So my mother was saying, today we have flowers, you come there tomorrow, I'll take tomorrow. But then we felt, because these daily wage workers, they are dependent on selling on this one. Okay, we'll take at least one small quantity, 10 rupees. Then she said, okay, we'll just take for 10 rupees. And then she said, and then my mother bought 10 rupees flowers. So these daily wage workers, they are actually dependent, their their income is dependent on selling some 10 rupee, 20 rupee flowers going from house to house. And suppose you call all these daily wage workers and you give a seminar to them on, actually the seminar topic is on actually how to seminar on the difference between million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, these numbers. And the seminar is about how to perform different mathematical functions of say multiplication or division of numbers above million, of numbers above billion, either millions or billions or trillions and this thing. And but these daily wage workers, they are dealing with numbers like 10 rupee, 20 rupee, maybe hundreds like that. And then, but if they hear the seminar, they will feel, oh, what is the relevance to us in our practical life? Millions and billions, they are not going to actually, they will not, they'll never have, they don't, maybe probably, even in a lifetime of savings, they may not be able to save a million rupees like that. So for a person who is absorbed in the nitty-gritties of this world, suppose when we speak only about transcendence, it may not be relevant to him. Just like for a daily wage worker, you give a seminar on mathematics involving numbers of million, billion, trillions, etc. So therefore, the Vedas actually give the Vedic literatures are a, they give a, they are so complete. Vedic literatures, they teach both the art of living and the art of leaving this world. So art of living is the Varnashram Dharma, art of leaving is the Bhagavad Dharma. And even Prabhupada's mood also, Prabhupada established the Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness. And he also said that 50% of my desire is to establish Varnashram Dharma. Because if we read Prabhupada's preaching also, in the 12 years of his preaching, 1965 to 77, especially in the Western world, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj has studied different this one. He said in the first 6 years, 7 years, Prabhupada was focusing mainly on Bhagavad Dharma. He said that there are some purports in, say, in the second canto, fourth chapter, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abira Shumba Yavana Kasadaya Yenyecha Papa Yadapashraya Shreya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. Shukadeva Goswami says that simply by taking shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, even the person, however fallen one may be, Kirata, Huna, Pulinda, Pulkasha, however sinful one may be, one can get elevated, one can get purified. If you read that purport, Prabhupada says, oh, it is not possible to establish Varnashram. One should simply accept the shelter of pure devotees and perfect one's life. Right? And International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established for this particular purpose. Like that he writes in that purport. And the same Prabhupada in the 10th canto, Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness movement is eager to establish the Varnashram system. The second canto, 4th chapter purport, Prabhupada must have written in the 1965-66. And 10th canto, this purport comes in 6th chapter, 7th chapter, it is in 1977. So in the beginning years, Prabhupada said the emphasis on Bhagavad Dharma. And then in the middle part of his preaching, Prabhupada said that there are quotes where Prabhupada mentioned, oh, we need to have Varnashram College associated with our every center. We have to teach people how to live. If they don't know how to live, how will they understand our high philosophy? Because it requires a cool brain to understand. So Prabhupada emphasized on Varnashram teaching for the sake of preaching. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his writings in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita that those human beings who follow Varnashram, they can more easily advance in spiritual life. Something to this effect. I'm not remembering the exact quotation. They can easily advance in spiritual life. That is it. Yeah, technically speaking, bhakti is independent of Varnashram. That's one of the siddhanta, core siddhanta of bhakti. But from a practical point of view, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that those who follow Varnashram system, they have they can advance more easily. They can more quickly advance in bhakti. And then the third stage of his preaching, that toward end of his preaching, 1976-77, Prabhupada said that Varnashram is absolutely essential for the devotee. The second phase, he emphasized on Varnashram for the sake of preaching. If they know how to live, then they will be able to understand our high philosophy. The last stage of life, Prabhupada saw that some of the leaders, they could not maintain their sannyas vows and they had to step down from sannyas. And then by seeing that, Prabhupada said that sometimes when a person say, when people suppose falls from sannyas, many times we may give only the spiritual reason. Maybe, oh, this person committed some nama parad, so therefore he fell down. We may give a spiritual, like, say, suppose a person comes from sannyas ashram to grahastha ashram, it is a fall from the, in a varnashram platform. But for that, sometimes we may give a spiritual reason. Oh, because he actually committed some Vaishnava parad or nama parad, like that. That could be one of the elements. But sometimes we may actually miss one of the material reason only. But Prabhupada, when he saw that some of the sannyasis were not able to maintain the sannyas vows, he diagnosed the reason as, the reason is because they were not actually qualified for sannyas, so therefore they could not maintain. Therefore, we have to establish Varnashram. It is absolutely essential for the devotee community. So he diagnosed the cause as the lack of Varnashram, not applying the Varnashram principle. Therefore, Varnashram is absolutely essential. So, Prabhupada, in his time, he could not get time to establish Varnashram, but he expressed the desire. So, therefore, the complete teaching means teaching both Varnashram Dharma and the Bhagavad Dharma. So, when people only teach the Varnashram Dharma, the art of living, but when they don't teach the purpose of the Varnashram Dharma, which is to please the Supreme Lord, Atap Pumbir Dvijasreshta Varnashrama Vibhagashaha Swanishritasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshana, then teaching only Varnashram Dharma lacks the substance. Then that is why Prabhupada says that when people do not know the aim of Varnashram Dharma, then the Varnashram Dharma, in due course of time, it will become degraded and it will turn into an exploitative system. And for practicing Bhagavad Dharma sustainably, one also has to be situated in the Varnashram Dharma, because that creates stability for practicing Bhagavad Dharma, and that it creates a sustainable legacy for the future. So Varnashram is only related with the body and mind. Bhagavad Dharma is related with the soul. Bhagavad Dharma is the ultimate dharma of the soul, ultimate dharma of the living entity. But we see in the 8th canto in the Gajendra section, when Gajendra, recently, I forget somewhere, some photo I saw in WhatsApp, I'm not able to remember. Anyway, Gajendra was actually fighting in the fighting with the crocodile in that lake. But the fighting was going on for 1,000 years, but he became tired. He became utterly tired. Gajendra was so powerful that when he was walking on the Trikuta mountain would tremble. The Trikuta mountain had peaks made of gold, etc. But that mountain would tremble. That was the power of Gajendra. But that same Gajendra, when he came into the lake, when he was caught by the crocodile, he couldn't actually fight against the crocodile. He was getting exhausted. In one sense, he had so much of power in comparison to the power he had. Crocodile's power is insignificant, but Gajendra was in the wrong place, in the water, which is not the suitable place for Gajendra as an elephant. So, similarly, Bhagavad Dharma is extremely powerful. One holy name can destroy more sins than a person can commit. That is the power of one holy name. But even though one will be practicing Bhagavad Dharma, but if one is not situated, even though one is practicing Bhagavad Dharma, which is extremely powerful, like Gajendra, but if one is not situated properly in the Varnashram Dharma, like Gajendra was not situated in the land because he was situated in the water, he was getting exhausted. He was losing his strength in the mind, body, everywhere. He was losing his enthusiasm. So therefore, that's why Prabhupada says that it is important for a person, when you are fighting against the material energy, which is the crocodile here, one has to be situated in the normal condition of life. And that normal condition means being situated according to Varna and Ashram, which may differ from person to person. That normal condition may differ from person to person. So therefore, that Rishabhadev is teaching not only the art of, not only taught the art of living as a householder, but he is also teaching the art of leaving this world. anyway, I got a little distracted from what. So Rishabhadev, if you see in Rishabhadev's life, so he taught his sons, so he gave his instruction to his sons, and then he took up the Avadhuta Vesha, and then all the mystic siddhis appeared. The mystic siddhis appeared and he did not accept those mystic siddhis. In fact, if we see Krishna also, Krishna, when we study the whole life of Krishna in totality, we can see Krishna, how he practiced the different dharmas of the different situation of his life. In the first canto, 16th chapter, in the conversation between Mother Earth and Dharma personified, Mother Earth mentions the 38 qualities of Krishna. One of the qualities, Mother Earth says, the reason for my depression or the unhappiness is that I was having the association of Krishna constantly, but that Krishna has disappeared. He has gone back to the spiritual world. And in that connection, she mentions the 38 qualities of Krishna. And one of the qualities she mentions is that tapaha. So what is the definition of this quality tapa? Tapa means actually austerity. Generally, there's a meaning. But here, tapaha means specifically the austerity refers to practicing the different dharmas of our situation according to Varnashram. That is an austerity. And Krishna, we see when he was a cowherd boy, he practiced the dharma as a cowherd boy. And when he was a householder, he performed his duties as a householder. We see the 10th canto, 69th chapter, 70th chapter, Krishna's daily activities in Dwaraka. And Krishna behaved like a henpecked husband. He satisfied the desires of his wife. And then as a Kshatriya, he actually fought with the adharmic kings and established Dharma. And then in the last part of his life, at the time of winding up his pastimes, he also exhibited detachment. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam which says that Bhagavan api Vishwatma Loka Veda Patanuga Kaman Shisheve Dwaravatyam Asakta Sankhya Mastitaha. Simultaneously, the personality of Godhead enjoyed life in the city of Dwaraka, strictly in conformity with the Vedic customs of the society. And he was also situated in detachment and knowledge as enunciated by the Sankhya system of philosophy. So Krishna as a householder, he showed that how he followed the duties of a householder. And then in the last part of his life, he also exhibited detachment. Krishna was sitting in the forest, and behind him was the Ashwatha tree, a banyan tree. And that banyan tree represents material world. So Krishna kept the banyan tree behind. That means he exhibited detachment from the material world. And Krishna was there in his winding up pastime. All the devatas came to know that Krishna is going to disappear from this world. So they came to meet Krishna. They wanted to ask Krishna, "Oh, while going to the spiritual world, please pay a visit to my house in the Swargaloka or in Varunaloka. Please pay a visit to our house in Maharaloka, Janaloka." Like that, they wanted to make a request to Krishna. But understanding that they are coming with this purpose, Krishna closed his eyes. So the reason Krishna closed his eyes is that Krishna wanted to avoid the social obligations while disappearing from this world. So that is one of the dharma of a retired person. A vanaprastha or a sannyasi is to actually avoid the social obligations as much as possible. So as a grahastha, one is supposed to like attend different social functions. But in the retired, this one, at a certain point, one has to reduce or as far as possible avoid social obligations. So Krishna was exhibiting that. And also another reason why Krishna closed his eyes is that all these devatas represent different mystic expansions of Krishna. They may represent the different mystic siddhis or mystic expansions. So Krishna was teaching that how a yogi should be detached from the mystic siddhis at the time of disappearing from this world. And therefore Krishna closed his eyes. And the same thing we also see in Rishabhadev. He also taught the yogis how to actually be detached from the mystic siddhis. In fact, Krishna, one of the 64 qualities of Krishna, the 55th quality is Sarva Siddhi Nishevita. One who controls all the mystic power is called a Sarva Siddhi Nishevita, but he showed a detachment from the mystic siddhis by closing his eyes. So therefore, we see the Lord is a perfect teacher because he taught completely. By his personal example and through the Vedic literatures, both the art of living and the art of leaving this world. And so the further words of the verses I'll so ataivam akila loka pala lalamopi Vilakshanair Jadavat Avaduta Vesha Basha Charitair Avilakshita Bhagavat Prabhava Yoginam Samparaya Vidim. Till this point we have actually Samparaya Vidim Anushikshayan. Till this point, we have discussed. And then, Svakalevaram. Yes, the screen is slightly, you can bring down. Svakalevaram. Jihasur Atmani Atmanam. So, Svakalevaram Jihasur. Svakalevaram Jihasur means, Kalevaram means body. Svakalevaram means one's body. Jihasu means desiring to give up. Svakalevaram Jihasur, desiring to give up one's body. But in this case, one of the acharyas, Vijayadvaja Tirtha in the Madhva Sampradaya, he mentions that Svakalevaram Jihasur, desiring to give up one's body. So in this case, Vijayadvaja Tirtha quotes a verse. He says, Vishnoho Kalevara Tyago Bhutyago Anyona Vidyate Kalevara Tyagon Yesham Panchatvam Samudiritam. So what does this verse mean? He says it means that for Lord Vishnu, there is nothing called as giving up one's body. In fact, for Lord Vishnu, there is one only thing which is there, Tyaga, is that giving up this material world. Because the Lord appears in a spiritual body and he descends to the material world and then performs his pastimes and then he gives up this material world. For him, only the Bhu Tyaga is there. Kalevara Tyaga is not there. And then he actually goes back to the spiritual world in his self-same body. The Lord's appearance and disappearance is like the rising and setting of the sun. And only for the other living entities, Kalevara Tyago Anyesham Panchatvam Samudiritam. Only for the living entities, there is the giving up of the body. And that is called as death. So for Lord Vishnu, there is no Svakalevaram Jihasu. But so then why it is mentioned in this verse? Svakalevaram Jihasu Atmani Atmanam Asam Yavahitam Anartha Antara Bhavena. So Rishabhadev, he was understanding, he was meditating within his mind, how he is non-different. Like in the case of the living entity, there is difference between our body and the soul. The body is there because of the maya potency, because of the illusory potency. Because we are under the illusory potency, therefore you have got a material body. The living entity, there is difference between the body and soul. And for the living entity, there is difference between the Atma and the Paramatma. But for Rishabhadev, Anarthantara Bhavena means, it means actually Abhedena. Anarthantara Bhavena means Abhedena, that means no difference. For in the case of Rishabhadev, there is no difference between his body and the soul. Because he is in a spiritual body. And for Rishabhadev, there is no difference between the Atma and Paramatma because he is himself the Supreme Lord. Rishabhadev was completely aware of this position. So Anvikshamana means constantly seeing. Anu Ikshamana. Rishabhadev was constantly aware of the fact what is this fact for Rishabhadev? That how for him there is no difference between the body and soul. For him there is no difference between the Atma and Paramatma because he is the Amsha of the Supreme Lord. He is the Avesha avatar of the Supreme Lord. So Rishabhadev was constantly aware of this. Asam Yavahitam means in the case of the Rishabhadev, there is no action of the illusory potency. For the living entities, because of the action of illusory potency, we have the material body, which puts a limitation on us. But in the case of Rishabhadev, there is no action of the illusory potency. Therefore, there is no difference between his body and soul and the Paramatma. And Rishabhadeva was constantly seeing this. So, Atmani Atmanam Asamyavahitam Anartha Antarabhavena Anvikshamana. And thank you, Mataji. I am sorry. I'll just, you don't need to take my permission. Anvikshamana Uparata Anuvritti Upararama. These are the last two words. Uparata Anuvritti Upararama. So Anuvritti, Uparata Anuvritti means he was only imitating, he was only acting as if giving up his material body. Or he was acting like an avadhuta. Avadhuta, actually, avadhuta's role is that how basically transcending the material body, transcending the designations of the material body. So anuvritti, like for example, in Sanskrit, Paniniya Vyakarana also, anuvritti means like, suppose there are different sutras are mentioned, 4000 sutras. So Paniniya Vyakarana, like suppose one sutra, what is told in one sutra, that gets carried that gets carried forward to the subsequent sutras. The definition given in one sutra that gets carried forward to the subsequent sutra, that is also called as anuvritti. So uparata anuvritti means for Vishnu, there is no giving up one's body. There is no concept of svakalevaram tyaga. Only the bhutyaga is there, giving up the material world. So then upara, so that is why then why it is mentioned like that. Therefore, uparata anuvritti means Lord Rishabhadev behaved like as if giving up this material body. And upara rama, in this way, he seized his pastimes as the king of this planet. He put an end to this pastime. And Vishnu Chakotipad says that Sva Kalevaram Jihasu, he gives a meaning that Sva Kalevara Prakatyam Tyaktum Ichu Prakatyam Tyaktum Ichuhu Iti Vastvortaha. That means Lord Sva Kalevaram Jihasu means desiring to give up the body, but the actual meaning is that desiring to give up the manifestation of his body. Because his body is spiritual. You give up only the material body, you cannot give the spiritual body. So that means desiring to give up the Svakalevara Prakatyam Tyaktum Ichuhu Iti. Desiring to give up the manifestation of his body. Desiring to give up the manifestation of his pastimes. In this way, we can see that Rishabhadev is teaching many things. And of course, I wanted to little expand on Prabhupada quotes in his purport. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mamaiti sorjana. That one who understands the transcendental nature of the birth and activities of the Lord to be transcendental, such a person, after giving up this body, he will not take birth again in this world. And Prabhupada says, one must understand one's own constitutional position, and also one must understand the constitutional position of the Supreme Lord. When a person understands both, then one will not take birth again in this world. And Prabhupada mentioned this in his purport. Because I wanted to discuss some various meanings on this Janma Karma Chame Divyam verse given by different acharyas. But we already went beyond time. So I'll stop here. If anybody has any questions.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It's a beautifully explained and very enlightening class, Prabhuji. And thank you for explaining about Varnashrama Dharma and Bhagavata Dharma. I like the point, Prabhuji. If we know the Bhagavata Dharma, then only we know how to live the life. Thank you so much for sharing, Prabhuji. I'm requesting devotees, if anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead. Devotees, if anybody have any questions, you can unmute and
talk. Krishna Mataji, can you hear me?
Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class, Prabhu. You have explained each and every word very nicely and such a beautiful explanation, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for such a wonderful class. I really, really appreciate the distinctions that you made several times about this verse and how, you know, it's many times, many practices focus on, you know, how to live in this world. But this is teaching us, you know, not, and Krishna consciousness in general teaches not only how to live in this world, but most importantly, how to leave. And I think that that's so valuable for all of us living in, you know, this, living these material lives in this material world. And we tend to get so wrapped up in how to live, you know, how to be a good devotee, how to do this, that even though we know that this is a practice, we should be practicing to leave in the proper way. So I'm very grateful. And so many, you know, you gave so many deep explanations and so much detail about the verse that it really helped to go deeper. I love all the points you made about avadhut. And you can, my biggest question in the beginning was, you know, the verses keep saying that Rishabdev, you know, behaved as an avadhut or kind of showed himself as an avadhut. But then finally you got to that point, you know, why it was saying, you know, saying, rather than saying he was an avadhut, it kept saying his behaviors and everything. So I really appreciate the class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. I think by the association of sincere devotees like you, I think I was able to, it's inspired to say something. Many times the speaker may not be so qualified, but sometimes when people are very eager to listen, then Krishna inspires something beyond one's level also to speak to the speaker. Thank you for your patient hearing.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I have one question. I don't know whether it is right to ask that. You were telling when Rishabhadev was leaving, he was maintaining the social distance from the demigods that they came to see him, right, Prabhuji? Am I right?
Krishna, yeah, Krishna. And Krishna was the last part of his pastime. Krishna actually closed his eyes. Like I was mentioning the 11th canto, there is a verse that if you read, I think 30th chapter or 31st chapter, when Krishna was about to wind up his pastime, so the devatas wanted to invite Krishna to come to their abodes while leaving from this world. So Krishna actually closed his eyes because he didn't want to go to different planets. He didn't want to give an opportunity for them to actually make some invitation, because Krishna wanted to teach that in the last part of one's life, one should try to avoid the different social obligations as far as possible. That's one of the reasons why he closed his eyes. Yes, Mataji, was your question?
So right now in COVID situation, people are leaving their body just as Krishna is mentioning here, but the mind is not, maybe they are not fixing in Krishna when they are leaving. But, you know, like mother don't know what happened to the child don't know what happened to the mother. They're living like that in a very, you know, very difficult to understand this. How to, you know, we take it, Prabhuji. Present situation is really very bad in India.
Yeah, one thing we have to understand, at least this phase, this also temporary phase. Maybe it is lasting more than a year now. And nothing is, the nature of the material world is the temporary. So even the COVID phase is also temporary. So we have to, we shouldn't get too much so overwhelmed by this phase. And we have to make the best use of the bad bargain within the limitations of this period, say of not being able to meet the say, different people, or not being able to go to temple, or not being able to do our different activities. Within the limitations, we have to learn how to make the best use of the bad bargain. That's a challenge, how to actually... we cannot be callous because the COVID second wave is also a little more intense. At the same time, one shouldn't become paranoid because the media is also trying to project only negativity. We have to take a proper precaution for our health and whatever within the limitations, we have to think in terms of how I can, how to practice dharma even in this situation. This is an apadharma period, emergency period. So how to remember Krishna, how to serve Krishna even in this period, how to actually, we may not be able to discharge a certain responsibilities, either with the family or some spiritual responsibilities in this period. But just like Pandavas went through that apadharma period, Pandavas during that, like during this 14 years of Vanvas, they did not have a kingdom to rule. Because they were in the forest, they were performing their Kshatriya Dharma, giving protection to the Brahmanas, killing certain demons. And during that 14 years, they spent their time learning from the different Brahmanas. So they took the association of so many Brahmanas and they learned a lot. So this is a good period to actually learn. The Kauravas, they had so much of facility, they had all the wealth, but they became spoiled by that wealth. But the Pandavas, one of the greatest characteristics is that whenever there are adversities, they thrive in adversity. They come into their elements during the adversities. That is one of the greatest quality of the Pandavas. So during the adversity period, during that 14 years, they actually, they took that opportunity to learn from the Brahmanas, and Arjuna collected different Divyastra also from the different people. And then during that 1 year of Ajnatavas, it was also it was completely an apadharma because they had to be in disguise. They could not even reveal themselves as the Pandavas or as a Kshatriya. They had to work as a laborer. Just imagine, Yudhishthira Maharaj was the emperor of the planet. He performed the Rajasuya Yajna. To perform the Rajasuya Yajna, one has to be an unrivaled emperor of the whole planet. That is why before the Rajasuya Yajna, they killed Jarasandha. And from being the emperor of the whole planet, they became a laborer in the kingdom of Virata. Bhima was a cook. Arjuna became a eunuch and a music teacher. And Yudhishthir was an employee under Virata, trying to teach some dice to Virata. So now Rupa Goswami quotes a verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Narada Muni comes to meet Krishna. Narada Muni, he comes to meet Krishna after meeting the Pandavas in the forest. And Narada Muni says to Krishna that, of course, Narada Muni did not meet during the Virata period. At that time, they were in the Ajnatavas. But Narada Muni says to Krishna, I met the Pandavas. These Pandavas, they are working as an ordinary laborers in the forest. But their faith in Krishna, or their love for you has doubled. Their external situation has gone completely in the 180 degree in the opposite direction. From being the emperor, they have they come to this position, they lost everything. But their internal faith in you, their internal love for you has actually doubled actually. I'm astonished by this. And this is a miracle. Many times we look for miracles. We look for external miracles. Miracle stories like somebody got a cancer and they performed some special puja to Narasingadev, and then the cancer completely vanished. And then that became a like research paper even for the doctor like that. Sometimes we look for external miracles, Lord actually removing certain disease, or suddenly we get some bumper, this thing, we were suffering a financial loss, suddenly we got our finance got stability like that. We look for external miracles. But Narada Muni saw a miracle, a completely internal miracle. The external situation had completely changed for the Pandavas, but their love for Krishna had doubled. And he was completely astonished by that. So therefore, that this is a time, this is an apadharma period, COVID period. There we may not be able to perform our certain responsibilities, certain services, but we can think in terms of, this is a time where we can learn, just like the Pandavas learned from different Brahmanas. It's a time where we can learn, say Prabhupada's books we can read. We can learn Sanskrit. There are so many opportunities to learn Sanskrit. There are different aspects of Sanatana Dharma. We have to understand what is our strength, and we have to keep busy how we can better remember Krishna. Like that we can think.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. As you said, we have to use this as our opportunity to see that how we can engage more in Krishna consciousness. That is so true, because this is the practical application time has came. But till now we were reading that we are not this body, we are soul. We have to leave this body. So there is no time when we leave. We know that we might leave any time. It doesn't matter what age you are. But right now we are seeing that in practical, so that we can understand more that this material world is so miserable, and step there is a danger. So complete surrender to Krishna is only way that we can save ourselves. Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes,
can I ask a question? Do you have time?
I have time.
Okay. Prabhuji, just wanting to know, like, we know what is Nam Ruchi, that is our relationship with Krishna, Vaishnav Seva, our relationship to devotees, and Jeev Daya, that is our relationship with people in general. So at times, because we all are dealing with this material world, we are trying to practice Krishna consciousness, and there are so many times that we are interacting with so many people around who are not aware of our regulative principles. At the same time, we don't want to appear in front of them very fanatic. So that time, if we prioritize Jeeva Daya, then other than Nam Ruchi or Vaishnav Seva, then how does Krishna understand this? Like, supposing
the
if
last
I
say... Part, that, suppose yeah. When you are... We are dealing with the common people of this world. What is the last point? Can you repeat question actual?
Yeah, the actual question is that supposing if I prioritize Jeev Daya, because we are with many people who are not Krishna conscious. And so then how does Krishna understand? Because I know he's Paramatma, he knows each and every situation in our life, how we are, whatever is happening. But at times we have to go to certain extent where we would feel that, okay, now my relationship with Krishna, I would prioritize Jeev Daya more than my other things, so that things around me can be in control, so that one could practice their spiritual life very sincerely, you know, without any problems around. So that time, how would Krishna understand? Like, would my prioritizing Jivadaya would be very much, would be accepted by the Lord, or then we just have to prioritize our Namruchi, that is our relationship with Krishna?
No, it's like the balance of three are important. Like, for example, if we are doing Jivadaya at the cost of our basic sadhana, then we will not be able to do the Jivadaya sustainably. Like, once one devotee asked this Dolan Radhanath Maharaj, that I feel like doing my sadhana throughout the day, I want to do more extra rounds, etc. So then Maharaj said that beyond the morning program, for the devotee was a brahmachari, they have opportunity to attend the morning program in the temples. So he said, beyond the morning program, when you follow the morning program properly, and beyond that, you can advance more by giving or sharing Krishna with others than by doing sadhana whole day long. So he said that essentially sometimes people only want to do sadhana all the time. But there is sadhana is important, but we can't simply by doing more and more sadhana, we can't advance. One of the most important way to advance is by getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for getting that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one has to try to take part in fulfilling his desire, that is sharing Krishna consciousness with others. But so therefore, by that one can make more advancement than by one's own sadhana. At the same time, for preaching, also, if we compromise, if we neglect our sadhana, then we cannot do that Jivadaya sustainably. Because, for example, when you keep drawing the water all the time from the well, but if you don't allow the well to actually, for the water to come in the well, for example, we may not have experience in Bombay, but even when you take bore water, when you put a bore, draw water from the bore, especially in the summer time now, and you have to give some time for the water to come into the bore, then to put bore again. Like in my home, the summer time is a very dry place. So you put water there, you put the bore, you draw some water. And then if you again put a motor after half an hour, the quantity of water will be much less actually. Then you have to give some 10-hour gap or 8-hour gap for the water to come into that bore, and then you actually draw the water. So you have to, similarly, when you do Jivadaya, we are interacting with the people, etc. But in order to do that sustainably, we also have to do our basic sadhana. We cannot neglect that basic sadhana. And so therefore there has to be a balance that so 16 rounds, we can say basic 16 rounds, or whatever your person is chanting, somebody chanting 8 rounds or 12 rounds, 16 rounds, at least the basic sadhana. And another extreme is, okay, you keep chanting only, keep doing more, and then put any effort to help others. Jivadaya, Name Ruchi, and Vaishnava Seva, all three are important. The Parishit Maharaj prayer in the first canto, 19th chapter, Punascha Bhuya Bhagavat Yanante Rati Pratangascha Tadashrayeshu. He says that if I have to take birth again in this world, let me get friendship with the devotees and let me show compassion to living entities. And let me have love for you. And Prabhupada says that this is the most perfect pattern of life this prayer is the most perfect pattern of life which a person can aspire. That means this prayer contains all three aspects, Name Ruchi, Jive Daya, and Vaishnava Seva.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
So, should we end here? Because it's almost 6:20.
Very nice question and answer section, Prabhuji. If no one have any further question, we can end the call here. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for an enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you, and we look forward to your association again and again in the future, Prabhuji. Let's pay our obeisance to Prabhuji and all assembled devotees. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhesha Krupa Sindhu Vancha Kalpa Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Rinda Ki Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Radhika Vallabha Prabhuji Ki Jai and all assembled devotees Ki Jai Hare Krishna Prabhuji Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna. Very nice explanation and very nice understanding.